Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
WGN, it is a Mesereau Monday. I always look forward to these. Jennifer Gartenberg joins us now. She is a wealth advisor with Mesereau. Jennifer, thanks for coming on the program today. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, John.
And I knew something big was going to happen on the market. Something crazy always happens on a Mesereau day. Today it was in the upside, and after we see like a big rally on the markets or a big loss, the first question always is, why? There isn't always a definitive answer, is there, Jennifer?
No, there's definitely not. You know, through Friday, the S&P was down about 23% for the quarter, yet up 2.5%, close to 2.6% today. And, you know, a lot of that decline earlier in the year was just clearing out some of the excess we saw over the past 2 years. And there really was no major headline to account for that. You know, the market had a great rally today, and you really don't want to miss a day like today.
Right.
It's the best thing you can do is to stay fully invested and not try to time the market, because nobody knew that the first day of the fourth quarter would have the results that it did.
Boy, when you talk about timing the market, I think people always forget you got to get it right twice, right? You've got
to. It's impossible to do. It's impossible to do. You know, it's really, really easy to be emotional, and investors just need to focus on the long term, because there's really difficult weeks like last week, and then you never know when you'll have a day like today.
Right, exactly. And you don't want to miss out on those things. I think it's the struggle between the Fed, people not sure exactly where we're going. Obviously, they're still talking very strong, which I imagine is part of their strategy, right? But we aren't seeing major slowdowns. We've seen some earnings kind of peel off a little bit, but the job numbers are still really good. But inflation came back a little stronger. So this is a really odd time, isn't it?
It's a very, very challenging time. You know, inflation remains high. However, the source of inflation is switching from goods to services. You know, oil, shipping, lumber, all have come down. Food and service-related expenses are still high. However, the Fed really seems intent on fighting inflation, even if it means, you know, causing a recession to do so. This is quite different than past times when they have when rates have risen. You know, in 2018,
right,
when they started raising rates and the market crashed, they stopped raising rates. The biggest difference is there wasn't inflation in 2018.
Right. This is their motivating driving force. All right, let's pivot to something that I know you know a lot about. And seriously, this is important. I think when we talk about investing, we say, you know, dollar cost averaging. Put as much in as you're comfortable with on the way down, on the way up. And some people go, well, okay, well, where do I put that? And the last thing I think that sometimes people think about are the taxes they're going to have to pay in 10, 15, 20, 30 years, whatever it may be, when they are retired, and that's their source of income. So I imagine that's a lot of what you do with people, is trying to find out efficient strategies for how people know. And how do you start with that? Where do you begin chatting with people about that?
Sure. So it's really a puzzle you have to put together. It is not one size fits all. And, you know, there's different considerations when it comes to taxes. First of all, there are different types of accounts. So you might have your joint account or your trust, which is all after-tax money. And the way investments in that account are taxed is quite different than investments that are taxed in your IRA, Roth IRA, 401k. So the first thing is to understand the difference in the two of those. At a very high level, investments in taxable accounts, you do pay tax on interest and dividends received in those accounts, and you do pay tax if you sell a security at a gain. With retirement accounts, you generally, unless it's a Roth IRA, get a tax deduction when you put the money in the account.
Right.
However, the entire time it's in the account, you don't pay taxes if you receive dividends and interest. You don't pay taxes if you sell something at a gain, though you do pay taxes when you take money out. So understanding that, and then understanding how different products are taxed. So, for example, if you own a corporate bond and it pays 5% interest, that interest is taxed to you at the same ordinary income rate as your salary. So it's a pretty hefty tax rate compared to qualified dividends, for example, that are taxed at capital gains rates. So 15 or 20% would be the highest tax on that, or muni bonds that are tax-free. So figuring out which product should go in which account based on your needs is really what we try to do with our clients.
Yeah, this is why you need to call Mesra.
Exactly.
I'm interested in all of this, but I just appreciate that someone like you knows this stuff, because honestly, I think a lot of us focus on the basics. And look, if you're saving, that's great. Like, that's step one, right? But I think people just need to realize the very simple reality that their 401k is going to get taxed on the way out.
Yep.
Their IRA is going to get taxed on the way out. Their Roth IRA is already taxed.
Exactly.
And that's some basic stuff that I think people miss. So is the strategy then to identify which buckets are taxed at this amount? Maybe it's higher on the way out, but not so much now, or vice versa. And diversifying where you're putting those so you have, I don't know, does it lessen the blow? Is that what you kind of walk people through as they get closer to retirement?
Sure. So you don't invest purely based on tax efficiency. That's just not how life goes. It really depends on your needs. And the best way to think about your asset allocation strategy is really on timing. So if you know you're going to need money soon to buy a home or fund your kids' education or whatever it may be, and you're not yet in that age where you're taking money out of the IRA, that money has to come from your taxable accounts. So from a purely tax perspective, it may make sense for that safer fixed income bond money to be in the IRA. But if you know you're going to need that money in the short to medium term, you're going to have it someplace much more accessible, even though it might make the most sense from a tax perspective. So it's constantly evaluating your needs, and that changes over time.
That's a good point. Yeah, I think if we're just focusing on the taxes we'll pay in the future, we lose sight a little bit of the phrase, you lose the trees to the forest or whatever it is, because you really need to analyze where you are in life and what the situations are, correct?
Absolutely. You know, there's all these rules of thumb that your emergency fund should have 6 months of expenses, or you should spend 3 months on an engagement ring or something like that. And I have found working with clients that it basically never works that way.
Right.
It's just, you know, people's needs are different based on if they have, student loans, or if they have a job where they know if they were to lose it tomorrow, they could easily get a new job. They probably need less in their emergency fund than somebody who might have a harder job finding employment.
Right. And so for people listening right now that may be a little either confused or they just think that it's a little overwhelming, I bet you experience that a lot. That's okay, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's very normal. And that's why you need to find, you know, a wealth advisor that can really customize a plan that's unique to your needs, because everyone's are different. And taxes, you know, you can have the best performing assets in your accounts, but if they're not organized in the most tax efficient way, it can really cost you.
I know that time is a great thing for people. Obviously, we talk about compounding interest and having game plans earlier in life. A lot of our listeners, though, may be a little bit closer to retirement, and maybe they haven't done that. And there's maybe a little shame that's with that, too. I think people need to get over that a little bit and realize it's okay.
Absolutely.
That you guys are able to help people kind of in every stage of their investment plan, right?
Absolutely. You know, just last week I was speaking to two families, both in their 60s. One is very concerned. Can they afford to retire? When can they afford to retire? And the other wants to know how much they can spend on a second home in Florida. And they're exactly the same age. They're comfortable taking the same amount of risk in the stock market. And but they have very different needs. And we constructed very different portfolios for them. So there should be absolutely no shame. Many people don't start really saving for retirement until their kids are a little bit older. They've bought that house. They've paid off those loans. And they're much closer to retirement than they would like when they're actually in a position to start, you know, really accumulating wealth.
All right. To chat with Jennifer or anyone over at Mesro, 1-877-MESRO. That's MESIROW. We're going to take a break. Then we have the news. But then we got some action plans for people. We're going to talk about tax loss harvesting. Am I saying that right?
You're saying that right.
That sounds so correct. Tax loss harvesting. These are things in the immediate that people should
do. Yes, this year. Great things for 2022.
And potential conversions.
Roth IRA conversions.
You're excited to talk about
this. So excited.
Let's take a break. Then we'll have the news. Then we'll do that here on Mesro Monday on WGN. WGN, John Hanson here on Your Money Matters. It's a Mesro Monday. Jennifer Gartenberg joins us from Mesro. When we were chatting, and I mentioned the phone number, 1-877-MESRO, but of course, Mesro.com is where people can go. And what's the best way that they can find an advisor? I know that must be For some people, that might be a daunting task when they get started, right?
Yep. You know, it's really finding someone that you feel comfortable with and that you feel that you can trust and have a strong relationship with. I encourage you go to Mesereau.com, read the bios of different advisors. Different advisors and teams have different expertise or specialty. For example, you know, I'm a CFP and a CPA. So are members of my team. We really specialize in planning and tax efficiency. Other teams focus on ESG and socially responsible investing. You know, read the bios, go on the website and see who might be a good fit for you.
So stalk you guys a little bit is
basically
what you're saying.
Yes.
So we were talking during the break and just a stunning piece of I just bought a house, right?
Congratulations.
Right. Thank you. And luckily I got in when the rates were not what they are today, but they were not where they were a year ago. And there was a stunning statistic you had on this piece of paper. Let's say your mortgage payment is $3,000 a month.
Yeah.
What's the difference between a year ago versus now?
It's really crazy. I mean, higher rates, while they might be great for retirees who can generate more income on safe investments, for real people in the real economy, it's really challenging for home buyers. At the beginning of the year, when mortgages were closer to 3.25%, if you could afford a $3,000 monthly mortgage, you get a mortgage of $690,000. That's a big mortgage.
That's a lot.
Now, it's a lot. Now the same $3,000 only supports a $450,000 mortgage.
690, you said?
690 versus 450. Yes.
Wow, same payment.
Yes, it's a huge difference. It makes a really big impact, and that's why we've seen the housing market soften so much this year.
Of course, it's all about that monthly payment and being able to afford that. Okay, so let's say I took it on the chin a little bit, which I did. What are some solutions, maybe actionable things that we can do right now? Let's talk about this conversion, and it sort of relates to what we were talking about earlier, from an IRA to a Roth IRA. First of all, why would someone want to do that?
Sure. So at a very high level, traditional IRAs work this way. When you put money in the account, you get a tax deduction in that year, similar to a traditional 401k. The money grows tax deferred. And then when you do withdraw the money, it's taxed ordinary income rates. You can start withdrawing the money at age 59 and a half, but at age 72, the IRS requires that you start withdrawing the money. And depending on how much money you've accumulated in that account, those required withdrawals in your 70s, 80s, 90s can be really substantial. You know, if you had a 401k your whole career and contributed and the market went up, it can be really big. And, you know, you expect to be in a lower tax bracket in retirement. And in some cases, you're in the exact same tax bracket you were in when you were working. So Roth IRAs are really wonderful vehicles, especially for young people. So with Roth IRAs, you don't get a tax deduction in the year that you make the contribution. It's after-tax money. It's similar to a traditional IRA. There are no taxes while the investments are in that account. But the real thing that's really great about them is when money comes out of the account, there are no taxes on that. It's tax-free. There's very few vehicles that are tax-free at that point. And so the more money you can get into Roth IRAs, the better. It's really, really powerful.
Okay, but then it's like, why wouldn't everyone just move it on over? There has to be some penalty or backside, right? What's the problem with doing
it? You can convert your traditional IRA to your Roth IRA, but doing so, you'd have to pay taxes on the amount you convert. So let's say you have a $100,000 traditional IRA. If you wanted to convert the entire thing this year, it would be as if you earned $100,000 more at your job. Your tax bill would go up considerably, not to mention it might push you into a higher tax bracket. So you need to have that cash on hand today to pay the cost of the conversion. And, you know, going back to what we were talking about, there's a lot of competition for that money. You know, you might be saving for college or your home or whatever it may be. So it really is a little bit of a sacrifice today, but something that can really pay off long term.
And it might be valuable this year because you may have less in your account after
exactly.
these big drops. Okay.
Exactly. So if you believe that your account is now undervalued by 20-25% and that it will likely go up next year or in 2 years, you can convert at these discounted prices.
Do you have to do the whole thing or can you do parts?
No, you can do any portion that you want. And really your accountant or advisor can help you figure out the optimal amount that doesn't push you into the next tax bracket.
Okay. We ran out of time to talk about tax harvesting or tax sales harvesting.
Oh.
I know. Really, Actually, can you sum it up in 1 minute? I'll give you 1 minute here.
Sure. So
it's very complicated.
It's very complicated. So tax loss harvesting is something you can do in taxable accounts, so your joint account or something like that. When you have securities trading at a loss, you can sell them, book the loss, and buy a similar but not identical security. And we can give you some examples. And basically, it allows you to book that loss. You can use that loss to offset gains this year or gains indefinitely on your tax return in the future. It's a really it's one of the few things you can actually do today to take action and try to make a bad market into a good thing.
I don't know how you did that so quickly. That made sense. I know there's a lot more intricacies about it, but you can break it down with
someone. Call 877-MESERO and I'll tell you more.
See, there we go. That's how we do it. Mesero.com. Jennifer, it was great to meet you, okay?
Great to meet you, too. Thanks so much.
We'll chat again soon. Yeah, and go stalk them at Mesero.com and find out who you want to talk to.